Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Tuesday, September 19th. This is Section A, the front page. The headline reads, PSP, Abel Hanger, Help Bring Harmony Academy. Permian Strategic Partnership and Abel Hanger Foundation launch $15.6 million initiative to establish Midland Harmony Science Academy. By Stuart Doreen, staff writer. The Permian Strategic Partnership, along with the Abel Hanger Foundation, have announced a $15.6 million initiative to expand the Harmony public school system in the Permian Basin. The investment will help address the critical need for high-quality seats in our community by establishing the Midland Harmony Science Academy and expanding access to a science, technology, engineering, and math STEM-based education, according to a news release from the organizations. High-quality education and rigorous curriculum is a cornerstone of a thriving community, and every student deserves access to the opportunity to a top-notch STEM education experience, regardless of their background or circumstances, said Tracy Bentley, president and CEO of the PSP, in a news release. By continuing to invest in public education, whether through public charters or further bolstering our independent school districts, we are investing in the long-term prosperity of the Permian Basin. As world energy demand grows, so too does the need for access to superior education in the Permian Basin, not only to grow the workforce, but to attract talent from across the country whose children will attend school in the region, the news release stated. The Harmony Science Academy will initially offer 200 seats for elementary students and expand enrollment to 1,500 pre-K through 12th grade students over the next decade. Harmony Science Academy is expected to open in fall 2024 in temporary classroom space, while construction is underway. Construction is anticipated to be completed for a fall 2025 grand opening. We are pleased to continue our decades-long commitment to education with support of the expansion of the Harmony School Network into Midland, said Mark Palmer, CEO of the Abel Hanger Foundation, in the news release. The first grants made from the foundation in 1955 were given to establish scholarships, and since inception, the foundation has given more than 30% of all grants to further educational opportunities in the Permian Basin. We are grateful for a strategic new funding partner in PSP, enabling greater opportunity to advance quality educational choices. Harmony Public Schools is a tuition-free system of 61 charter schools in Texas that provides rigorous, high-quality education focused on STEM, the news release stated. Harmony provides students from traditionally underserved communities the opportunity to excel through project-based learning, where they learn the skills necessary to become contributing global citizens. Ensuring equitable access to quality education is our shared responsibility, and we are humbled to embark on this journey in partnership with the Permian Strategic Partnership and the Abel Hanger Foundation. The initiative to establish Harmony Science Academy in Midland signifies a commitment to nurturing young minds and preparing them for a future driven by STEM fields, said CEO Fatih A. We are excited to continue to be a part of the Permian Basin community, and we extend our gratitude to our partners for their dedication to shaping a brighter educational landscape. Enrollment for pre-K through second grade will open beginning on November 1st. For additional information, please visit harmonytx.org. This article is entitled, PSP Launches Get Out the Vote Campaign, by Mella McEwen, business editor. Elections are rapidly approaching, with Election Day set for November 7th. Texans will vote on 14 constitutional amendments, including one designed to lower property taxes. Midland and Ector counties, along with Lee County, New Mexico, will also have school bonds on the ballot. Ahead of Election Day, the Permian Strategic Partnership has launched an effort to boost participation in general elections across the Permian Basin with its 2023 Get Out the Vote campaign to register new voters and encourage participation in the upcoming election. This campaign is rooted in empowerment. We want residents across the Permian Basin to know the impact their vote has on shaping the future of the region, said Tracy Bentley, President and Chief Executive Officer of the PSP. The average age of a resident in our community is 32 years old. Encouraging voter turnout helps ensure that each individual's voice helps to shape policies that reflect their concerns and long-term vision for our region. The campaign takes a multi-channel approach, including various forms of advertising, direct emails, mailers, and in-person voter registration events. Inclusion is pivotal for our Hispanic community, and the Permian Strategic Partnership's bilingual outreach efforts are a positive step toward making everyone feel part of the political process and community, said Adrian Carrasco, chairman of the board for Midland Hispanic Chamber. This campaign recognizes the importance of engaging Spanish-speaking voters and underscores the power of their voices in shaping our region's future. Our community thrives when its residents actively participate in the democratic process. Voting in local races allows us to elect leaders and adopt policies that align with our values and understand our unique needs, said Sam Cobb, mayor of Hobbs, New Mexico. I, along with my fellow city commissioners, urge each and every one of you to ensure your voter registration is in order, and come November, exercise your right to vote. Your vote matters. Let's make it count. All Texas counties will vote on 14 proposed constitutional amendments, while voters in Midland, Ector, and Lee counties will vote on school bonds. A complete list of contests by county can be found at permianpartnership.org/2023-get-out-the-vote. Those wishing to register to vote or check or update their registration status can find information on the PSP's election webpage. The last day to register to vote in advance for the November 7th election in both Texas and New Mexico is October 10th. Voters in New Mexico are eligible for same-day registration during early voting and on Election Day. This article is entitled City of Midland Addresses Water Bill Issues by Stuart Doreen, staff writer. The City of Midland has mailed notices to residents and other customers about changes made to the billing cycle for water bills. The city stated on the notice that customers' last read date needed to be moved closer to the bill date for the most up-to-date information regarding real-time usage. This change also allows the tools in the portal to be of the most value to customers. The City of Midland stated Monday this notice impacts about a third of the customers across the city, mainly in North and West Midland. That includes improved ability to track real-time usage for leak detection and the ability to set account thresholds and alerts. We realize the patience our customers have offered us during this switch, the city wrote. We look forward to the increased efficiency our customers will experience with the automation of the system. Thankfully, no matter how you make payments, this will be the last of the rollout, and you will not see this situation moving forward. The city noted that AutoDraft customers will be billed twice in September. If you read dates on both bills, you will note the dates are not duplicated, the city wrote. For customers paying manually, the city is still honoring a first due date of September 1st. You will not incur late charges on either bill, the city noted. The city recommends customers contact customer service at 432-685-7320 with any questions. Customers can also send an email to cs@midland-texas.gov. This article is entitled "Cyber Tip Leads to Arrest of Midland Man for Child Pornography" by Mercedes Cordero, staff writer. A 19-year-old Midland man was arrested Thursday for possession of child pornography, according to court documents. On March 14th, special agents with the Texas Department of Public Safety Criminal Investigation Division, CID, began to investigate a cyber tip from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, NCMEC. The cyber tip contained three videos of confirmed child pornography of children under the age of 10 years, according to the arrest affidavit. The special agents identified the suspect, Nicolo Moose, using multiple social media accounts. On September 14th, special agents interviewed Moose. During the interview, Moose admitted to viewing and possessing child pornography, according to the arrest affidavit. Moose is being held in Midland County Jail on a third-degree felony charge of possession of child pornography. Bond is set at $150,000. This article is entitled "Fire Chief's New Role to Benefit City's Animal Services Department" by Stuart Doreen, staff writer. A frustrated animal support community vented about missteps and lost animal lives Monday at the MLK Community Center. But based on the rounds of applause, there were reasons for advocates or members of animal rescues across the city to be optimistic. A new sheriff is in town, or a veteran fire chief, as is the case. Midland Fire Chief Charles Blumenauer is now Managing Director Blumenauer, overseeing the Midland Fire Department, Health Services, and Animal Services. He said Monday at the Animal Services Advisory Commission meeting that just like the fire department is at the highest rated level that the community can have for insurance purposes, he wants the equivalent for the animal shelter. It was welcomed expectations for a community that has experienced too many miscues and lashed out often on social media. I want to find out what the ISO, Insurance Services Office, one rating equivalent is for the animal shelter, as far as taking care of animals and those things. And that's what we're going to shoot for, Blumenauer said. We're going to try to be the best. I don't want an average shelter. I want the best shelter. And we're going to do it. Blumenauer said he serves the community with a degree in organizational management, and he is a certified public manager. On Monday, he repeatedly served as a buffer to committee members and new Animal Services Director Melissa Griffin Hobson, stating processes will be fixed, the city manager's office will provide needed resources, and there is a new standard that Animal Services will establish. Immediate goals include revamping protocols, including those that were never implemented, cross-training residents and developing backups for employees who may not be in the office, The lack of a backup system was listed as a cause for a recent high-profile animal death. Bring in outside training agencies and continue with needed training. Whatever the standard is to be trained, Blumenauer said, we're going to bring our employees up to a higher level. City manager Tommy Gonzalez said strong leadership is needed to support the strong leaders already out at animal services. He also said, because of Blumenauer's experience with medical protocols, it made sense to use the fire chief's skills in the city's restructured organizational chart. He said that process systems and responsible communication will be integral to changing the narrative that has developed over the last 6 months. There were still concerns rattled off after the more than hour-long animal services meeting. The city reported that the life release rate had dropped 74% in June to 52% in August. However, there were people like Karen Patterson, executive director of Fix West Texas, who were pleased to hear that standards would be raised. Blumenauer promised one-on-one meetings with local animal advocacy organizations like Fix West Texas, Cat Wranglers, and others in attendance on Monday. We are offering you anything you need, Patterson said. We want to see you take animal services to the next level. Ultimately, Blumenauer gives animal services needed stability and a leader of a department that deals with high-pressure situations on a daily basis. I really feel like being the fire chief, I have to deal with lots of other stressful with human life and property, Blumenauer said. And this is in that same kind of path and vein. It's making sure our citizens are safe, getting strays off the streets. Secondarily, is to make sure that we're treating those animals with respect, because they do have feelings. I know my two dogs and my cat, they have feelings, and so we're going to make sure we treat them as family. One of the things we talked about, the fire department, is to take care of family, and we treat everybody like family, and that includes our dogs. I'm taking that same message to the animal shelter. Treat them like family, and we won't have issues. This article is entitled Market Needed for Carbon Reduction, Exxon CEO, by Mitchell Furman, Bloomberg. Government policy isn't enough to reduce emissions and accelerate the world's transition to cleaner energy sources, and a market for carbon emission reductions is needed, ExxonMobil Corporation Chief Executive Officer Darren Woods said. Clear government policies around the world focusing on reducing emissions are crucial, and the landmark Inflation Reduction Act in the U.S. is catalyzing investment in energy transition supply chains. But more will be required, Woods said Monday. The governments cannot afford to subsidize reduced emissions in perpetuity, Woods said Monday at the World Petroleum Congress in Calgary. Ultimately, market forces are going to have to come into play, and we're going to need a market for carbon reduction. This article is entitled MC Celebrates the Jack E. Brown Conference Hall's Reopening by Ben Schaffer, staff writer. Midland College will hold a ribbon cutting celebrating the renovation of Jack E. Brown Conference Hall at 10:30 a.m. Thursday, according to a press release from the college. In August 2020, the college closed the Jack E. Brown Dining Hall after moving its dining facility to June and Frank Cowden Jr. Dining Hall. When college officials decided to repurpose the building, which is named after one of Midland's oil and gas pioneers, they decided it would serve as the hub for the school's energy industry professional development activities, the press release states. The new Jack E. Brown Conference Hall includes offices and classrooms for Midland College's Workforce Continuing Education Department. It is also the new home of Midland College Continuing Education Division administrative offices. The press release states that education and training space in the new building includes 5 classrooms and 1 computer lab. The Midland College Workforce Continuing Education Department coordinates classes and programs that equip students with certifications and licenses that they can use to qualify for jobs in West Texas and provide a skilled workforce for local business and industry, according to the press release. On September 12th, Midland College celebrated the renovation and opening of their Pre-K Academy and Center for Teaching Excellence. According to Midland College and MISD leaders, the Center for Teaching Excellence was created in large part to mold quality educators that could fill the teacher shortage in MISD and surrounding local areas. "We have a lot of students who are wanting to change directions in their current career field or get advanced skills so that they can be promoted," Chelsea Gann, MC Director of Workforce Continuing Education, stated in a press release. "We provide short, quick, quality training to get them to the next level or into another direction. Today's workers need to have industry-based credentials, so they have evidence to prove to current and potential employers that they have the skills needed to do the job." The Continuing Education Division also oversees customized training for regional businesses and industry. This training is often conducted at the business location or at a specialized training center, according to the press release. The renovation of the Jack E. Brown Conference Hall will enable us to better centralize Midland College's training efforts, MC President Damon Kennedy stated. "By moving successful programs like our Petroleum Professional Development Center to the main campus, we can optimize educational space, and our Continuing Education Division can better collaborate with our traditional college programs. Education is the vehicle to evolution of our community, and the Jack E. Brown Conference Hall is one of many steps we will be taking during the next few years that will allow us to continue to be an integral part of what makes Midland's economy strong and quality of life great." This article is entitled "MISD Board to Decide on Tax Rate Shift" by Stuart Doreen, staff writer. Midland ISD board members will vote on the fiscal year 2023-24 tax rate Tuesday. That will allow the district to pay off current bond debt quicker, keep the tax rate higher prior to the November 7th $1.4 billion bond election, and prevent taxpayers from feeling the entire impact of the tax rate compression provided by the Texas legislature. The vote will follow a public hearing on the tax rate at Tuesday's Midland ISD board meeting, which is scheduled to begin at 5:30 p.m. at Bowie Fine Arts Academy. As previously reported in the Reporter-Telegram, Tucker Durham, the chief financial officer for the district, stated earlier this month that the current Midland ISD tax rate is 91.48 cents per $100 valuation this fiscal year. On Tuesday, the school board will vote on a tax rate for the 2023-24 year that is 87.70 cents per $100 valuation. The reason for the drop is the tax compression approved by the Texas legislature. The expected homestead exemption increase that has to be approved by voters in November, and an increase in the district's interest and sinking I&S rate. Note: the tax rate that will be voted on is higher than the rate Superintendent Stephanie Howard presented at this month's State of Education event, 82.23 cents per $100 valuation, and will generally create a tax increase for Midland ISD taxpayers living inside the city of Midland. because the tax rate decrease will be smaller than the valuation's increase expected, as reported by other taxing entities. The total tax rate is divided into the maintenance and operations, M&O rate, which is used for operations, and the interest and sinking, I&S rate, which is levied by districts to pay for any bond debt that may have been issued to fund the construction of schools and facilities. The compressed M&O rate will be 65.95 cents per $100 valuation. The I&S rate will triple from 7.02 cents per $100 valuation to 25.75 cents per $100 valuation. The increase of the I&S rate from 7.02 cents to 25.75 cents means a $140 increase in the total tax bill for every $100,000 a property is valued. The district also reports an increase in the I&S rate for the 2023-24 fiscal year will save taxpayers an estimated $23 million in interest savings from paying the current debt down sooner. With the board vote for a tax rate of 87.70 cents per $100 valuation, it also sets up voters to vote for a tax rate increase on November 7th, compared to the tax rate expected to be set on Tuesday, as the district estimates a total tax rate of 88.41 cents per $100 valuation if the bond passes. Bond proponents have stated that the total tax rate expected, should the bond pass, will still be lower than this year's tax rate. Board President Tommy Bishop had previously told the Reporter-Telegram that the board would not consider raising the I&S rate and therefore the total tax rate if there was not a bond coming up. The situation we are in now, based on where our tax rate could be, is a win-win for the community and the district on having the opportunity to raise the I&S rate, Bishop said. Other than that, we wouldn't be having this conversation. This is an op-ed article. It is entitled, Bass Pro Shops Deal Makes Sense. Ask Tim Dunn. By Lori Blong, Midland Mayor. As Midland's mayor, I want the city to make great investments that improve the city. Midlanders don't have a lot of trust about the use of other people's money by elected officials, understandably. So I thought a good thing to do would be to try to establish some investment criteria that could be used in a transparent manner and allow for constructive discussion when the city is asked to invest in projects. The question should never be, who has the connections to get the goodies? It should always be, what's the best stewardship that creates the maximum benefit for our city as a whole? Most particularly, those without connections. So, I decided to sit down with a local investor who has built a number of successful enterprises, including being a part of the group that recently renovated and reopened what was, and now is again, a local institution, Green Acres Miniature Golf. Tim Dunn is not only a good investor, but he is also known to adamantly oppose cronyism. We share this. We want the city to make good investments, but avoid corporate welfare. I posed the basic idea, and Tim loved it. I shared with him the basic data of the cost of investment and the projected returns, along with other potential costs and benefits. Together, we came up with an approach that we hope gives us a good start on focusing public debate on what's good for the city and being transparent with the data. Midland voters are astute and should be treated as fellow investors. The immediate question is Bass Pro Shops. They want to build a store and have asked for various incentives. Question is, good deal for Midland citizens or not? There are two basic investment decisions to be made. Two hats. One is the Midland Development Corporation, MDC. The MDC gets about $10 to $14 million per year from a quarter-cent sales tax the voters approved to improve the quality of life in Midland. That money is going to be spent. Question is just on what? Bass asked for $5.5 million to help with the construction of road access. You can see a list of important projects MDC has done in the past here at www.midlandtxedc.com. It seems apparent that spending money on a feature venue that will create a regional draw is a wise use of those funds. So MDC investing its funds here as opposed to other options is a simple yes. The other hat that needs to make an investment decision is the city/county governments. Bass has requested 10 years of reduced property and sales taxes as an incentive to build. This raises the following questions we need to answer in order to make a good investment decision. 1. What are we giving up? 2. Do we have sufficient income to cover any obligations we are including? 3. Does this add to the economy or just transfer wealth? 4. What's in it for the average citizen? What's the cost-benefit? 5. Is there any opportunity cost? Do we forego another option that might be better? Bass Pro asked to have a property tax reduction of 100% for city and a sliding scale for the county for 10 years. They asked for 50% reduction of sales taxes for the same period from both entities. The current property tax income on the land Bass Pro Shops proposed to us to be developed is less than $100 per year. We still estimate we get $1 million on sales tax, which is $1 million more than we have now. Our incremental increased city services, fire and police mainly, should be far less than that. So the property tax abatement is a reasonable investment if the venue is additive to the community. Once the 10 years passes, the store adds to the city's bottom line. Are we adding to the economy or transferring wealth from other stores to Bass Pro? The main question there has to do with our faith in the local economy and ability of Bass Pro to be a regional draw. Looking at the data and believing in our future, I think Bass Pro will increase the area's retail overall rather than be a wealth transfer. And I think our economy can support a Bass Pro Shops. My research shows me that Bass Pro stores don't always succeed, but they seem to succeed in areas like ours. This is a judgment call. None of us know the future, but I think it is a good bet. We don't really forego any opportunities because we are blessed to have plenty of land to expand. So the last question is, what's in it for the average citizen? And that, I think, is an easy one. Bass Pro Shops is a destination venue that will serve the avid outdoorsmen we are blessed to have in our area. It will also be one more thing that adds to a growing list of reasons why we should all tell people to stop saying there is nothing to do in Midland, Odessa. Bass Pro Shops will enhance our city's amenities, which is essential if we are to continue to grow our economy. We have so much more to do, and many other investments that need to be made. But as Midland's mayor, I am committed to help grow and improve our area. We have the best place to live and raise our families, and we need the amenities to support that reality. As Tim Dunn and I have discussed at length, many conservative Midlanders probably think that it would be better if Texas did away with abatements like those discussed here. But presently, this is the system we have in our state, and we have to compete with other areas which are utilizing all manner of incentives and abatements. We have to play by the rules as they are in this highly competitive development market. So, we should make good investments inside those rules, while working to make them better. Unsurprisingly, Midland is asked often for government money. We should not be in the corporate welfare business or pick winners and losers. We should make good investments that build our community and improve the quality of life. I think Bass Pro Shops meets that criteria, so I plan to vote for the incentives. We are a city of good investors. We ought to have a city that can make good investments. I would be glad to hear from any local investors, which is all of you, about how we might improve this approach. This article is entitled, Planning and Zoning Approves Special Designation for Behavioral Center, by Mella McEwen, business editor. More red tape entangling the planned Permian Basin Behavioral Health Center was snipped at Monday's meeting of the Planning and Zoning Commission. Commissioners unanimously approved a request by the center for a specific use designation without term for an institution for the care of alcoholic, psychiatric, or narcotic patients at its facility to be built on 54.008 acres at State Highway 191 and Farm-to-Market Road 1788 near the University of Texas Permian Basin's Engineering Building and Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center. Jeff Fisher, Planning Division Manager with the City of Midland, noted that commissioners last month had approved initial zoning of RR, Regional Retail, for the tract. Midland City Council is now considering that initial zoning as well as an annexation of the acreage. Fisher explained that the zoning did not allow for an institution to treat alcoholic, psychiatric, or narcotic patients without the underlying SUD. The center will be built on acreage donated by Diamondback Energy, and before ground was even broken on the project this April, a request was submitted to double the facility to 200 beds and expand annual operating cost support from the state of Texas. This is the Business and Oil page. This article is entitled, Saudi Energy Minister, OPEC Targeting Stable Oil Prices, by Devika Krishnakumar, Bloomberg. Saudi Arabia Energy Minister Prince Abdulaziz bin Salman said OPEC is working to keep oil markets stable and improve global energy security, without targeting any specific price level for crude. Proactive, preemptive, and precaution. These three words will address how we are attending to the situation, knowing there are uncertainties coming from multiple directions, Prince Abdulaziz said during a discussion at the World Petroleum Congress in Calgary. As for demand in China, one of the key drivers of global crude prices, the jury is still out, Prince Abdulaziz said. Saudi Arabia has led a charge since April to reduce output from OPEC and its allies to revive flagging supplies, starting with a unilateral 500,000-barrel-a-day production cut that took effect in May, following a 1-million-barrel-a-day reduction that has been extended through the end of the year. Prince Abdulaziz said later, on the sidelines of the conference, that output plans will be reviewed every month, and that they'll wait until they see real numbers that illustrate the market's tightness before making further decisions. This article is entitled The 90s Return to Heat Up Midland by Stuart Doreen, staff writer. Midland is not done with high temperatures in the 90-degree range, according to the National Weather Service. The NWS reported Monday that high temperatures are expected to reach 95 degrees on Tuesday and 97 degrees on Wednesday, around 10 degrees above normal, and that the next high temperature in the 80s is expected September 25th. Monday's report. Monday's high, 89 degrees. Typical high for September 18th, 87 degrees. Monday's low, 65 degrees. Typical low for September 18th, 64 degrees. Previous record high for September 18th, 98 degrees, set in 2002 and equaled in 2005 and 2015. Last 3 days, Saturday, 81 degrees, Sunday, 88, Monday, 89. Next 3 days, Tuesday, 95 degrees, Wednesday, 97, Thursday, 94. Rainfall, Monday, 0.00 inch. This month, 0.70 inch. This year, 2.269 inches. Normal through September 18th, 10.33 inches. Upcoming rainfall chances, Thursday, 20-30%. Source of this article, the National Weather Service. This is the Life Tributes column, September 19th. Isabella Brielle Navarrete, December 28th, 2020, to September 10th, 2023. Isabella Brielle Navarrete, 2 years of age, from Midland, has fallen asleep on Sunday, September 10th, 2023. She was always surrounded by family and friends, who Isabella Brielle had touched in some small way throughout her short yet very memorable life. Isabella Brielle leaves behind many wonderful people who loved her to the moon and back. Isabella Brielle's love extends to the wonderful nurses and doctors at Covenant Children's Hospital, who always made her feel like she was at home. Isabella Brielle is survived by her loving parents, Abel and Sarah Navarrete of Midland, her big brother Abel Navarrete III, 21, Adrian Navarrete, 18, Daniel Navarrete, 14, and Christopher Anthony Navarrete, 11. Maternal grandparents Manuel and Teresa Olivares of Midland. Paternal grandparents Abel and Angela Navarrete of Midland, as well as many aunts, uncles, and cousins. She was preceded in death by her uncle, Benjamin Andres. A celebration of life was held on Monday, September 18th, at 3 p.m. at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home Chapel in Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. James H. Norred, January 31st, 1929 to September 16th, 2023. James H. Norred of Snyder, Texas, passed away on Saturday, September 16th at the age of 94. Jim is survived by his loving wife of 40 years, Elena, his children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and sisters. Viewing will be held on Tuesday, September 19th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home Chapel in Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com.
This is Kim, and I am reading The Odessa American. Today's date is Tuesday, September 19th. Oil show, going international even bigger. There are a lot of reasons why the Permian Basin International Oil Show is called international, the main one being that exhibitors, selling equipment and looking for employees and attendees on high-dollar shopping trips come to Odessa from throughout the world. PBIOS Executive Director Tony Fry says 22 Canadian companies will be here for the biennial exhibition October 17th through 19th at the Ector County Coliseum, along with companies from China, India, and Germany, and attendees from nations as distant as Guyana and Libya. A lot of the international companies coming in are trying to develop new businesses and hire personnel, Fry said. For some, it's their first time here. He said the Leistritz Advanced Technologies Corporation from Germany and Santo Protectors USA, with thread protectors and lifting bales from India, will be here. Leistritz has multi-phase systems and screw pumps, Fry said, explaining that all the equipment on sale will be for onshore operations. Santo has a presence here, and Leistritz is partnering with Knighton Industries in Odessa for distribution, he said. Fry said the PBIOS sold all 723 available spaces months ago, 297 of them outside, and it has a waiting list of 80 companies that want to show if any exhibitors cancel. The ceremony is to introduce the PBIOS honoree, an outstanding Permian Basin oilman of long experience, will be at 9:30 a.m. October 17th at the main entrance, with show president Larry Richards and other dignitaries in attendance. The gates will open at 10 a.m. for the show to continue each day till 6. Richards said the exhibition, with an expected local economic impact of over $14 million, has always been fortunate to have attendees from across the globe travel to Odessa in October to see our show, but this year we definitely anticipate greater international interest. I've personally received calls from folks working to bring executives from as far away as Guyana and Libya, he said. These new next-generation wells are just different than conventional wells. Instead of a vertical well bore, you're drilling down a mile, then turning 90 degrees and drilling horizontally for up to 2 miles. Then massive quantities of sand are pumped into the formation to create a porous formation where one didn't exist beforehand. When they come in, these wells come in hard with large volumes at higher pressures, and they often carry a lot of sand with the production. Comparing the effect to a sandblaster, Richard said, the high-pressure flow can wreak havoc on traditional production and completion equipment, spurring huge innovations and new equipment designs to tackle the issues. National oil companies can go through a decade of tearing up equipment in remote locations and learn on their own how to engineer solutions so they can come here and benefit from the innovations already developed and working in the Permian Basin. They'll see everything from huge separators to automated electric wellhead chokes that can be configured to keep more sand in the formation. It's a no-brainer for them, and our local companies benefit by selling their products and services at a much broader market. Richards said big advances have also been made to reduce and eliminate the venting and flaring of natural gas and utilize associated gas in the field to drive a whole new generation of electric equipment with little to no emissions. This year, the electric equipment now includes the big iron on location and will have the largest display of that type of equipment for the onshore market in one place in our industry, from Warren Cat's 2,500 horsepower frac pump engines using 80% associated gas to Dragon's new 60-foot-long enclosed 4-megawatt turbine generator, he said. The U.S. leads the world in technology advancements in this arena, and our region leads the U.S. Attendees can lay their hands on leading-edge technologies that are actually proven in the field, not science experiments, and place orders for the equipment before they get back on the plane. This will be the only time many of these visitors ever see our region, so it's a great opportunity to build relationships and show them some West Texas hospitality. secretary finds dream job closer than expected. Raquel Fuentes entered the professional world of public education as an attendance clerk at Great House Elementary in 2016, moving a few years later to a role as Principal Tanya Sanchez's secretary. Amid her years behind the big desk in the office, a curiosity developed. Maybe she could become an educator herself. Last school year, she casually mentioned to Sanchez that she was close to finishing her bachelor's degree and was interested in dipping her toes into the educational waters by becoming a substitute teacher. Ms. Sanchez asked me how far along I was, and I said I only had a few semesters left, Fuente said. And just like that, her career as an educator not only started but accelerated. Pathways. According to a news release, there are many educator opportunities at Midland ISD beyond being a certified teacher. A major effort of the Office of Human Capital Management has been to look internally for those with an interest. Being an educator is a calling, said Michelle Harmon, director of MISD's new Department of Recruitment and Retention. And quite often people don't know that there are myriad opportunities to make an impact in the classroom and grow your career. Being a substitute teacher only requires a high school diploma. However, those with some college work can join MISD as a REACH associate. Working full-time alongside a teacher as part of the Opportunity Culture Program. Those with at least a bachelor's degree but no teacher certification can also become a classroom teacher through District of Innovation, DOI. For Fuentes, a different opportunity was available. When she told me she was almost done with school, I jumped at the chance to hire her as a classroom instructional facilitator because I knew she was the perfect person, Great House Principal Sanchez said. CIFs are full-time educators that have at least 30 semester hours toward their bachelor's degree. What separates CIFs from REACH associates is they operate a classroom on their own. MISD provides robust training and support at every step of the way, including in the specific content areas they'll teach. Fuentes said that since kindergarten, she had wanted to become a teacher. However, having children and raising a family put these plans on hold. During COVID, she enrolled at Grand Canyon University and began pursuit of her bachelor's in education. She will graduate in May and plans to start her teacher certification process in March. As a CIF, she is already getting high-level, real-world, in-classroom experience. Teaching is definitely not for the weak, Fuentes said. Being a CIF has been the best training I could have ever asked for. I get a lot of help from my principal and other teachers, and this summer I went through the same teacher training as everyone else. Gateways. This year, MISD returned substitute teacher management in-house. With a new approach to recruitment and retention district-wide comes a new perspective on how the district approaches the substitute teacher role. We need subs to fill in when needed. However, we really are pushing hard to use substitute teachers as an internal recruitment tool, Harmon said. There are those who have no classroom experience and are looking for a career change and see subbing as a way to try before they buy. There are retirees interested in rejoining campuses in some way. There are those who left the teaching profession and want to ease their way back into the field. What we see on their application is that they are actually qualified for a full-time role that will give them more robust experience and more consistent employment in education, Harmon said. We're working hard to get the word out that there are more educator opportunities available than just being a part-time sub or full-time certified teacher. The rewards can be life-changing. What I'm doing as a CIF, going to school to be a teacher and getting experience and support running a classroom before I'm even certified is something I never would have imagined with Ms. Sanchez, Fuente said, adding that her family is proud of the work she's doing. I'm just so blessed to be able to finally do what I've always dreamed of doing, be an educator. Permian Basin MPO issues call for projects in conjunction with the development of the 2050 Long Range Transportation Plan. The Permian Basin MPO is asking for the public's input to identify transportation projects in the Odessa-Midland area. The MPO is the designated leader coordinating transportation planning in Ector, Midland, and Martin counties and the cities of Odessa and Midland. The long-range transportation plan includes potential transportation projects across numerous funding categories and project selection scoring criteria. The document will cover a 25-year planning period from 2025 to 2050. Public hearings and meetings to discuss the updated list of projects will be scheduled in November and December 2023. A project submission form is available online at permianbasinmpo.com. Completed project submission forms should be returned to the MPO by the stated timeline. Forms can be mailed to Permian Basin MPO at P.O. Box 60916 Midland, Texas 79711 or emailed to info@permianbasinmpo.com. ECISD Board to Discuss Tax Rate Ordinance. The Ector County ISD Board of Trustees will consider approving a tax rate ordinance during their regular 6 p.m. meeting Tuesday in the first floor boardroom at the Administration Building, 802 North Sam Houston Avenue. If approved, the total tax rate for 2023-24 will be $1.014 per $100 valuation. The total rate has been $1.17 per $100 valuation. The maintenance and operation rate will be $0.7596 per $100 valuation, and the interest and sinking debt service will be $0.2544 per $100 valuation. Trustees also will discuss and consider adoption of an order to pay off a portion of the district's outstanding bonds early with a view toward reducing future interest costs. The board will discuss and consider a resolution for the defeasance and redemption of a portion of the following bonds totaling $34,435,000 for a savings of $6,137,250 in future interest costs. According to the Loan Base website, defeasance is a process that borrowers can use to retire a bond early. To defease a bond, the borrower must pay off their debt using collateral securities. These securities are typically government bonds or corporate bonds. Unlimited Tax School Building Bonds Series 2013. The principal to be prepaid is $12,290,000 for $3,020,250 in savings, supplemental agenda material said. Unlimited Tax Refunding Bonds Series 2016. The principal to be prepaid is $13,370,000 for a savings of $1,011,000. Unlimited Tax Refunding Bonds Series 2020A. Principal to be prepaid is $8,775,000 for a savings of $2,106,000. The resolution also includes an escrow agreement to hold the funds until such time the bonds are callable. The administration recommends approval of defeasance and redemption of a portion of Series 2013, Series 2016, and Series 2020A bonds. Under special presentations, advanced placement scholars will be recognized. UIL State VASE Visual Arts Scholastic Event qualifiers will be recognized, and the 2023-24 Education Foundation grants will be presented. Reports and agreements are also on the agenda, and the board will go into closed session on a Level 3 grievance hearing regarding Rachel Herford.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.